From KQED Public Radio and the California Report, this is a it's an unusual Capitol Notes podcast.
Straight out of Newhall.
That's Anthony York from the LA Times. I'm John Myers from KQED. We are in Newhall. I thought we were in Santa Clarita at first, but I've been...
And I thought we were in a John Hughes movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a little Breakfast Club-esque. We're at Hart High School in Newhall on Thursday. Our Governor Jerry Brown has taken his budget show on the road yet again for a town hall here. We're actually going to chat a little bit before the event. And if Anthony is not quickly filing everything for the internet to beat me left and right.
No, no, we don't compete with you. We figure we're a complementary coverage.
But of course. If we have time after the event, quickly, a couple of quick things just rolling in what the governor did at the event. So let's just catch people up for a short podcast this week. We were absent last week. Sorry.
Apologies. I was at another one of these.
Anthony was absent last week.
With the governor.
I didn't go on the road. This is the first time. Not a terribly busy time, at least in terms of a lot of events. And frankly, from what I can tell, a whole lot of movement on budget issues. I mean, the governor is still very much now in let's take it to the people mode. I don't hear a lot of chit-chat that he's sitting down breaking bread with a lot of Republicans. There's going to be a Republican assembly member at this event.
Right.
What are you hearing the last few days?
Well, I mean, I think we're back more on a traditional calendar. I mean, this is now with the June election off the table, the next big event is going to be the May revise. That's going to be on May 16th, and that is sort of a more traditional dynamic. The governor still wants an election, but it's clear he wants the taxes to still be in place on July 1st, so he wants whatever budget is passed, presumably by June 15th, to include some tax extensions.
Yeah, and this is a bit of a complicated thing where they would conditionally approve the taxes subject to an election. That's the way that goes?
For 3, 6, 9, or 12 months, depending on when the election is. And I think that's something we should all ask the governor about afterwards, about how long he's willing to have taxes on the books before the people vote. Because it's clear that that's where he's headed. It's not a question of if there will be taxes, or in the governor's mind, if he wants taxes without a vote of the people, but for how long? And so so I think that's where we are. I think, you know, the governor said his budget in May will have his vision for what the state should look like with and without the taxes, and that there will be certain cuts that would trigger on if these taxes are ultimately rejected by voters.
Which, in a way, just to follow on that for a moment, if in fact you can craft it that way, and we should say here too, no one's ever crafted a budget that way before, at least not that I'm, I mean, you know, that's an unusual way to craft a budget of triggering on-off cuts, taxes. But if in fact it plays out that way, it is somewhat about, somewhat to the way that a lot of folks talked about maybe you needed to tell the voters exactly what happens. I mean, that doesn't that lay out a clearer line of here's what happens without the taxes?
It is sort of, you know, introducing this idea of an all-cuts budget, which he has shied away from doing directly the last 3 months, but we've seen slowly over the past couple of weeks he's been more and more eager to get that idea out there. While, you know, it's a fine political line the governor has to walk between being seen as fear-mongering and at the same time communicating his message about what he thinks would happen to the state if the taxes are not maintained.
And I think one of the things that will be interesting today is this: the first Republican who has showed up at an event, Assemblymember Cameron Smythe from this area, from what district?
38th.
Why was I saying 60? 38th district. Sorry, I got my numbers wrong.
And I just learned, a graduate of Hart High School.
Alma mater, returning home. So Assemblymember Smythe took the governor up on his invite to come to this event. No other Republicans have in this budget show so far. So we'll hopefully come back afterwards and chat a little bit about what that dynamic was like. The other thing I was going to talk about quickly, too, when we have these discussions of an all-cuts budget, the May revise, is, I mean, we've got to talk about revenues. Revenues are coming into the state in the April numbers really quite strongly. I haven't looked at today, Thursday's number yet, but if you look at just 2 days this week, you take Tuesday and Wednesday, it was somewhere on the magnitude of $1.2 billion came in 2 days. Now, the question
was that just sales tax?
These are income taxes. Income. Watching the daily tracking of people opening, used to be opening envelopes, but people e-file now.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But talking to a couple of people in the Capitol about this that would watch this, what I think is really interesting is, you know, the Department of Finance expected that April income tax revenues would be $300 million under what they were for April of 2010. Right now, they are almost on even par with what April 2010 was. If that holds true, that's an extra $300 million in addition to the $2.8 billion that we started the month with, extra, above projections. There are even a couple of people. I talked to one person today, Anthony, you tell me what you make of all this, of the political dynamic. One person in the Capitol today who said, we're on, if this held, we're on track to not only have that much money, but maybe upwards of $5 billion above projections when it's all said and done at the end of April, which really would change the dynamic, the political dynamic on the all-cuts budget, right. Who gets cut, who gets money, how does it work out?
Well, and that much harder to sell tax extensions. I mean, if the economy is recovering, why do we need these taxes, and why not, you know, let them roll off and provide some stimulus, which is what a lot of people believe lower taxes do to the economy. So it's sort of a, can I say that $5 billion in revenue is a mixed blessing for the governor?
I mean, I think that would be safe.
Yeah, because he's talking about extending taxes that would be about $50 billion in revenues for 5 years. So,
yeah, I mean, clearly, yeah, it wouldn't be a mixed blessing if it was more money, but it's just enough money to kind of stir the political pot, is it not, a little bit, and have people...
And to take the edge off and to make voters feel like this thing might heal itself on its own and that they don't need to make any sacrifices in the way of higher taxes. And so... it's a complex challenge that the governor has, and ultimately he's going to have to decide which course to pursue in terms of strategy on an election, and see what he can get through the legislature and through the ballot box.
So the legislature's been on recess this week. That's partly why it's been quiet up in Sacramento. They come back on Monday. Here at midweek, we had President Obama in California. He was at Facebook on Wednesday, in San Francisco for a fundraiser this morning that the governor briefly attended, apparently. President left, went to Nevada, yada, yada, yada. But what I was going to get back to is that...
He's here today. Stay off the 405.
So that's right. He's coming down for a fundraiser in L.A. Right, exactly. The big Hollywood fundraiser. But what I was going to get back to is I was somewhat surprised the governor didn't show up at the Facebook event on Wednesday. It was about the economy. It was about jobs. It was about spending priorities. It was federal, of course, and not state. But that would seem... a perfect place for the governor to get himself in statewide and local coverage, news coverage, versus going to a fundraiser Thursday morning where he doesn't get into it.
Well, he made his own news yesterday, you know, announcing the issuing this executive order cracking down on state departments that have offered low interest loans to workers, or no interest loans, or advancing travel expenses and then not recouping the loans. So I think he had his own, you know. The machinery of this governor's administration moves a lot slower. It's much less agile. And so once something is on track for a Wednesday press release, I think it's hard for them to move that. But also I think this governor has not, unlike the last governor, this is not a governor who rushes out to greet Air Force One every time it lands in California. He's shown that before. And, you know, I think he's trying to portray the image, and I think it's, you know, reflective of the reality that he's focused on the state, on fixing the state's problems, and isn't going to be distracted by national politics or, you know, political celebrity. I mean, I understand your point, but I think that there's a message to be inferred by his absence as well.
Yeah, it is. And I think those are all valid points. I mean, let's go back to what he did, though, on Wednesday, this executive order about trying to drag back in basically some loans that were made to state workers over the years. Didn't seem like, I don't think he got a whole lot of traction out of that story. And that would be one of my arguments, is that the political press was focused on the president's visit. You get in that story versus trying to compete with it. But whatever, that neither here nor there. But, you know, there was some symbolism in that executive order, again, like the swag, like the cell phones, the state fleet. I mean, there's real, but there's symbol as well.
Right.
Symbol?
And,
yeah.
Well, I mean, look, these are loan. I mean, the idea of any employer giving money to an employee and then not taking the money back. Sound check.
We don't need a sound check. I'm in radio. I don't need to record that.
Okay.
But you were saying?
I don't remember.
He got totally distracted by the sound check at the podium.
And the shiny object.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the larger point is the symbolism is important. The savings is important. The I'm running government different message is important too. I mean, all of that.
And the perception that state employees are not entitled to things that are not available to normal people. You know. So.
What do you think the political, really quickly here, and then we're going to come back after the event. What do you think the Let's talk about the politics of your paper, the Los Angeles Times, a story about the contract with the prison guards. California Correctional Peace Officers Association raised some real questions about the guards getting things that kind of signals that they got a new friend in the governor's office after 7 years of fighting Arnold Schwarzenegger. Those are tough optics for Governor Brown, and yet at the same time, those were political allies.
Right. Well, that's why they're tough optics. You know, the fact that he's giving political favors to donors that are not available to... I mean, that if that is seen as holding, and through this budget process, too, if to some degree, if unions are held relatively harmless in these budget talks, obviously that's going to be make it harder for the governor to build the credibility needed to sell taxes to voters.
Yeah. So bottom line, we come back next week and we, as you said, pick up a traditional budget process. I think that's right. Moving toward a May revise on May 16th. I find it interesting that normally you would probably do it on the Friday the week before, but that's Friday the 13th. Talk about optics. It's not great optics.
Is that why they're extending it?
I don't know. I just came up with that on my own. But May 16th, Monday, May 16th, we get the revised budget, and then we hit that dance toward June 15th and July 1st. Though, really quickly, what are you picking up that I'm hearing, too, about the whole Prop 25 issue? And we all remember that Proposition 25 said if the budget wasn't passed on time, the legislators would not get their pay. Well, they passed the budget bill. Now, the budget bill hasn't gone to the governor,
but
Prop 25 didn't say the governor had to sign it.
No, it doesn't have to be signed, but it does have to be sent to the governor. It has to be sent. So they can send something down to be vetoed if they want to. They'll get beaten up in the press for it, and we'll see. I mean, you know, here's hoping one way or another we have some kind of budget deal by June 15th.
You and me both, just because we don't want to be there all summer.
Yeah, right. I've got vacation plans. You know?
Do you?
Well.
Where are you going?
Hopefully to Tahoe for a few days.
See, you didn't know this was that kind of podcast. All right, folks, we might try to record a little bit after the event here, see what Governor Brown said. So we'll pick it up in a moment. And this is John Myers back in the studio in Sacramento on Friday. And that means, no, we didn't come back and do more of the podcast after Governor Brown's event in Santa Clarita on Thursday afternoon. We were hopeful that we would be able to come back and give some pithy synopsis of what happened at that event. It was about a 2.5-3 hour event, but deadlines being what they are, mine in radio, Anthony's in the newspaper, we had to keep on rolling. But that being said, I thought I would tack on a couple of pieces of audio tape to this podcast to let you hear a little bit more, or actually let you hear a little bit from Governor Brown, I should say, because we talked to him before the event, a group of reporters, and then we talked to him briefly after the event. The event was pretty long, interesting, but no barn burners, nothing unusual, no huge news out of it. Lots of people decrying cuts to education. Really not a lot of comment or input from the Republican on the panel, which was Assemblymember Smythe. It was his district. He briefly thanked the governor for coming to the district and then moved on. We talked to him afterwards, a few reporters. I talked to him. It was in my piece on the California Report on Friday that you could hear online if you want. And he basically said he still doesn't see a way to vote for the taxes. And we cut it. I don't think there was any major commitment there. And you'll hear me actually reference that in a moment when I'm talking to the governor. But the first piece of tape here is going into the town hall. If I sound out of breath when I'm asking Governor Brown a question, it's because we were walking. And you don't stop in a lot of times with politicians because they don't stop for you. But he did ultimately stop. And I started out trying to ask him about the state employee contracts that have gotten some more scrutiny in the last couple of weeks by the Legislative Analyst Office, concluding that they don't save as much money as was projected to save, as the governor's budget projected to save out of state worker compensation. And so I asked him about that. The governor, I think, was assuming that I was asking specifically about the contract for prison guards for the California Correctional Peace Officers Association. That of course, is one of the contracts that is being looked at as perhaps not saving enough money, but it's not the only one. So you'll hear him reference that. Then there's a quick discussion about April tax revenues, which Anthony and I talked about there in Santa Clarita, and then a small little humorous comment from the governor at that, well, you'll hear how it plays out. So this is the governor right before the event in Santa Clarita. You know that there's been, the Ledge analysts and others have said that the savings out of those employee contracts isn't anywhere near enough.
Well, that depends on how you look at it. It's quite a saving. It's not what we put in the budget. But when you put in the budget, you put in more than you expect, and then you have a negotiation. You don't lowball it. You put it as high, and then you try to get as much as you can. But the contract parallels the SEIU contract. And we got a lot of very important management rights, and I think it was a very good contract.
So all the contracts, what do you say to people who say they don't save enough? All of them, the ones that you negotiated, not just the guards.
The horse is already out of the barn. Key contracts were negotiated by my predecessor. In collective bargaining, once a pattern is set, it is very difficult to substantially deviate from it. And the contracts that I signed represent the pattern that was set in the previous administration. So they are in advance. They have pension reform. They have certain givebacks. But we'll have another contract negotiations, and then it'll be mine from start to finish, and I'll start the pattern as soon as the first contract's expired.
What are your thoughts on the implications for the budget of the better-than-expected income tax revenue?
Well, let's see that one, I guess. That's speculative. I have no idea what
it'll be. Weren't you $2 billion better in March?
No. That's cash. You can't... $2 billion better what? I mean, it has to be over a year.
So you're not using that to factor into your May revision?
No, not yet. It's early. If you want to... We have Anna here. She can explain it. But that has no bearing whatsoever.
So people will say your political supporters got a better deal, the unions, out of those contracts are wrong?
Some people say I treat the Bee and the Chronicle and the Times better because they endorse me. And that's also worth quite a lot. So it's silly.
We don't want to endorse in public radio.
Yeah, so that's why we don't treat you as nicely.
And so there you have it. Jerry Brown takes a dig at public radio. No, he wasn't really. But I enjoyed that moment. Actually, everybody got a good chuckle out of it. And the governor's always a good sport about those kind of things, as was Governor Schwarzenegger. It's a bipartisan thing. I mean, you spend a lot of time talking to these folks. But anyway, so that was somewhat humorous. After the event, this budget town hall, again, a quick little chat with the press that the governor did. I think at this point, you'll hear on this tape, you'll probably only hear three reporters. Me, Anthony York, and David Siders from the Sacramento Bee, who I tried to twist his arm to come on the podcast. Maybe we'll have him come on because his job is to cover the governor just like Anthony's is. And the governor had gotten, as you'll hear at the beginning here, the governor had gotten pretty worked up in this event because he had the last couple of questions he got at the event were from Republicans and from people who did not like his budget plan. One person in particular said the governor needed to go further on reforms to put on the ballot, and that a lot of Republicans around the state would agree to the taxes if they knew that there was a long-term fix for the state's problems on pensions, on other issues. And the questioner brought up in particular tort reform, which apparently was a bee in the governor's bonnet because he talked a lot. He started kind of going off on tort reform at the end of the town hall. And as you'll hear here in this question, I think the first question he gets in this post event chat with the press was again about the notion of putting more things on the ballot. Governor was still thinking about tort reform, clearly, and so he's talking all about tort reform. And then a little bit more about revenues and just about the whole value of doing this event. So this is the press gaggle, as we call them, with Governor Brown after his budget town hall.
Well, that's the Republican position. You know, tort reform is its own world. We could spend the next several years doing tort reform. And there's another group that wants regulatory reform. And we talk about CEQA. And so I tried to do as much as I could, knowing you got to get Democratic votes, you got to get Republican votes. That's what it takes.
But the idea that they want sort of long-term solutions so that we're not back here again.
Well, you're not going to be back here whether you... What alteration in the tort law is going to make an impact on school funding? It's not there. It's an assertion. The pension, he admitted himself, it'll be years before the pensions will come, you know, that little 3.7% grow. You know, so we have issues to spend there. The teacher's retirement needs $1 billion.
Do you have a sense of how long? Is there a limit to how long you would allow tax extensions?
I'd like to be there for 5 years.
But how long you would allow them to be extended before a vote of the people? I mean,
that's a matter of, let's see if we can get the votes first to see where we are.
But I mean, in terms of
some people don't want to have any election, and some people don't want to have any vote for taxes.
I mean, could we have an election as late as June? I mean, is that something that you would be open to?
No, I'd like to get an election more consistent. You know, at the early at a reasonable date connected to the taxes. Yeah, I mean, I would have done it before, but that was made rendered impossible. You can't do the impossible.
Governor, can you clarify something? When you walked in, we were asking about tax revenues this
month.
The last 3 days, $3.5 billion.
Yeah.
You don't think that's real money, though?
Well, tell me what you think. Cash is not budget.
I mean, we're looking at cash and looking at how cash is tracking. But there's a lot of different factors that affect the revenue estimate. And there's a lot of things that have been done to change the cash patterns over the last couple of years. So we have to look at what's happening on the economics, what's happening on cash, what's happening to refunds. So people are paying, but what is the refund trend? And that's all what we're going to be doing.
There's more money coming in refunds because of laws you passed.
Yeah.
But we'll be May 16th, we're going to put out another economic forecast, and that'll be a better judgment than just off the top of my head.
Well, I just ask it because, you know, politically, people see more money in the till. They're going to say, we don't need an all-cuts budget. We don't need this. We don't need that. You know, it changes the dynamic somewhat.
Somewhat, but there are people who are going to say, if you don't have tort reform, don't do anything. If you don't have regulatory reform, and now because we've got, you know, some certain amount of money comes in April, so let's not do anything. So, I mean, I laid out a plan that is balanced. It's half taxes, more or less, and half cuts, drastic cuts. There's not a lot. There could be modifications depending upon more revenue, but I'd say that plan itself is very stringent. It doesn't envision pay raises.
And do you think these
envision holding down a lot of the spending?
Do you think these events do anything to move? How?
Well, first of all, I find them useful to put a face on the numbers, and secondly, the word does communicate to legislators. What we're talking about here is four votes, and the mood, there is a certain chemistry and mood that is created. Obviously, a month ago, why didn't we get the 54 votes? Well, it just wasn't the time. There's a time in public affairs or public events, whatever that
is. Doesn't sound like you have one in Mr. Smythe, though.
What?
Doesn't sound like you have a vote in Mr. Smythe.
Well, we're going to have something. But I also think it's important for people to know what the hell's going on. I mean, if we're going to go to all cuts or to all paralysis, which is a very likely option, then I want people to know that. So I think it's very important this not all be done in Sacramento. I don't think the credibility is there enough. So I'm doing my best. If I have another idea, I'll pursue that too.
By the way, the woman you hear talking there with the governor talking about cash, that's the governor's budget director, the director of the Department of Finance, Ana Mata Santos. And as you can hear, Governor Brown believes these events that he's been doing around the state are beneficial. The reality is he hasn't gotten any Republican commitments out of any of these. Turning up the pressure on Republicans publicly hasn't really done anything, at least as far as we can see. But, you know, we come back to Sacramento and we keep on going from there. Though there are going to be more events around the state next week as well. The Senate Budget Committee is going to be at Cal Poly Pomona, just like the Assembly Dems were before, though this is a budget committee hearing from the Senate. So we'll see if we get Republicans there as well. Probably will be. The governor, no doubt, will be doing more of these as well. But the legislature will be back here in town on Monday, and we'll see where we go. And, of course, we'll try to come back next week and sort it all out, see what it means. Anyway, that's it for this week's Capital Notes podcast. I'm John Myers from KQED. We'll see you next time.